Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Life has been some combination of fairy tale coincidence and joie de vivre, and shocks of beauty, together with some hurtful self-questioning. Sylvia Plath. Welcome back to There Might Be Cupcakes. Hi, this is Carla. Thank you so much for joining me. Sorry for the unintended break. My health took a dip. But now my medications have been adjusted, I have a new therapist, and I'm using a cane all the time. And the new mental and physical support has made all the difference. I feel like my old self. It was kind of tough to admit that I need a medical device at home, that I can't just limp bebop from the bedroom to the office to the bathroom anymore. Such short distances, but my body continues to change and, well, deteriorate. And accepting that fact was a jagged little pill. But once I digested it, I felt so much lighter. So, welcome back. As I said on the podcast Substack, which is linked in the show notes, I outlined a plan to celebrate the podcast's 5th anniversary. I'm going to revisit the first 5 years of episodes and, well, do a remix of sorts. Updates, look at them through a new lens, fun stuff. These episodes will, of course, be surrounded by new episodes, the new Buffy the Vampire Slayer series, the ongoing House of Leaves deep dive series, and standalone new episodes. I really think this is going to be fun and a good introduction to new listeners. So, of course, first, an update to the first episode. I think I'm one of those rare podcasters who doesn't cringe about my first episodes. The only thing that bothers me is I've learned more about sound management. I actually remixed the first 4 episodes later with my new knowledge. You can find them remastered after episode 33. Just search your podcatcher for the word remastered. And those 4 episodes will pop up, and they sound better. I started the podcast with this Poe quote, so I must use it again, because it's so funny for podcasting. Quote, believe only half of what you see, and nothing of what you hear. So here's who I am, now. I'm a 50-year-old disabled writer. I used to write for the Virginian Pilot newspaper when I lived in Norfolk. I also used to be a therapist before I became disabled. I have a master's in counseling from Boston University. I went to North Carolina State University for psychology and Boston University for counseling. I live on a mountain in the Appalachian Range in the section known as the Blue Ridge in the state of Virginia, right on the edge of George Washington National Forest. The latter makes the missing 411 phenomenon of people going missing on national lands extra spooky. I may do an episode on that in the future. Here's the official description for Apple Podcasts, which may give you an idea of my bookish and introverted shenanigans. Quote, Carla is a book dragon, a 50-something with psychology and counseling degrees with post-grad work in grief, loss, and trauma, sex crimes, and forensic anthropology, a woman who has lived in 3 haunted houses, a former freelance journalist and counselor who was never bored, a disabled introvert who sees connections everywhere, like John Nash, only less mathy. A knitting fidget who loves horror movies with a skewed passion. Like one of her heroes, Harriet the Spy, she wants to learn everything and write it all down in her commonplace book. Join her, and sometimes her friends, in her strange library as she INFJs everything from unused angles. It's going to get weird in the best way. Let's play. The name of the podcast is from my friend Greg Barrett's comedy routine, There Might Be Cake, from his album Greg Barrett is Uncool. I'll link it in the show notes. It's all about how if you get out and do the damn thing that you've been avoiding, you might be near cake, and there might be some cake for you. I looked up my reasons for cupcakes for my initial promotions leading up to my first episode, and here they are. 1. With cupcakes, you can eat your cake and have it too. More cupcakes remain. And yes, that is the proper rendition of the saying, eat your cake and have it too. So there's your proper warning about your host and her geekiness. 2. Cupcakes mean extra celebration, not just icing, but sprinkles. If you over-decadent, totally making that into a verb, a cake, you either get really strange looks, or you thrust the cake's cost into the stratosphere, or both. And nobody wants a piece of super expensive side-eye cake. That's too unnerving to be fun. But cupcakes are expected to be over the top, and can be easily. Sprinkles, little candies, candles, sparklers, chocolate kisses. Try putting chocolate kisses on a cake. That cake will look embarrassed. No, really, try it. I'll wait. Now grab a cupcake from the grocery store's bakery, add a pinch of sprinkles, and one little chocolate kiss, and slide it under a coworker's desk. Instant smiles. Cupcakes are less assuming, less fancy pants, and less concerned about what people think. I'm way overstretching this metaphor, but it's fun, and now I kind of want to knit myself a hat with beaded sprinkles on it. Cupcakes also mean mingling, which means making new friends. They allow mingling because they're more finger food than plate food like cake. Think back to your last shower or reception. Cake is served, and everybody sits down or perches somewhere and fills, well, their cake hole. A cupcake fits in your palm, your water or your cocktail nestles in the other, and you can talk to that friend you haven't seen in forever or to that new friendly face. And cupcakes are festive. So a cupcake in one hand means something festive in the other. A book, glass of wine, a pipe, lover. Think about it. Granola bar, kale smoothie, even your favorite Starbucks blend in one hand. You could be driving to your attorney's office or working on a group project that suddenly doesn't seem so groupy. But a cupcake? It doesn't matter if it's the boss's surprise birthday party that he threw for himself and made mandatory, or the cookie sale launch meeting for your daughter's Girl Scout troop. Whatever you might hold in your other hand looks brighter and shinier. And let's face it, usually a box of cupcakes means girls' night in, which means wine possibly. Or you are throwing yourself and whomever you choose, even if that's nobody else. A Netflix and chill, which means comfort food and or recreational marijuana for us lucky few. If you're upset eating a cupcake and have nothing awesome in the other hand, back slowly out of the room without breaking eye contact, then run. They're pod people. We're here for you. Find one of our safe houses. Okay, update. Now, as far as my health. My disabilities are Errol's Danlos, hypermobility type, POTS, which is postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, and fibromyalgia. Basically, the collagen in all 12 systems of my body is damaged. My joints are laxed. And my blood pressure is not stable with a sudden change in posture, which includes a hard sneeze and laughing and standing up. And everything hurts all the time. Yep, I have 24/7 pain, which means right now. My body is my frenemy. That's just the way it is. I can't trust it at all, which makes it very difficult to make plans, which includes working on the podcast, as we've seen. So frustrating and embarrassing sometimes. Quote, again, I feel the gulf between my desire and ambition and my naked abilities. Sylvia Plath. One thing I have learned in the past 5 years, unfortunately, the very real disorders that I struggle with every day and have made me disabled are the very ones that people with Munchausen by internet, i.e. people that have facetious disorder and pretend to be sick for attention on social media, most often pretend to have. Why? Well, the type of EDS that I have is the only one that does not have a genetic marker. POTS is attached to EDS and is easy, heavy on the quotation marks, to fake. Tech fibromyalgia for extra ass pats, as they say. I know I sound angrier than I usually do, but there are people online that have been called out for faking what I have by people that know them in real life. It's bad. They're faking for attention and because of failure to thrive, which is the psychological fear of facing adulthood. Meanwhile, here I am, waking up some morning struggling to walk at all, or waking up in the middle of the night with my knee completely out of joint, and I have to fix it myself because there's nothing else to be done. My good days are days that healthy people would stay home from work, and my bad days that I just grit my teeth through and can do nothing but listen to podcasts and audiobooks and lie still are days that generally healthy people would go to the emergency room. And then there are these people pretending with no pain. That's hard to swallow. The EDS has become a fun way to get attention on TikTok and avoid life's responsibilities. Look, I'm bendy. EDS is actually the time I got stubborn and decided to do the laundry, which I cannot safely do, and I dislocated my hip bone, putting the clothes in the dryer. I dislocated my hip joint. Just sit with that for a minute. Facetious disorder both fascinates me and infuriates me for its wasted medical, financial, and emotional resources. Also, I can't stand a liar, and that's the bottom line. Enough of that. Blah, blah, blah. An update to my health since my last introduction episode, 5 years ago. I now have medical marijuana. Woo! My dispensary is now making topical THC and CBD pain cream, and it's marvelous. Marijuana in all its forms, down to the new topical cream, has been an excellent addition to my health toolbox. Thank you, Commonwealth of Virginia. I also finally received my disability benefits. After fighting for them for 7 years. Oh, it was a degrading, exhausting process, obviously set up to make people quit and give up. But my final judge at my final hearing was kind and listened to me. He truly listened. And I'm now receiving the benefits that I worked for. Finally, I don't have to be frightened about money anymore, which was truly taking a toll on my health. The grueling disability process was as well. As for my mental health, I've started using ThriveWorks, and I have a telehealth therapist and psychiatrist, so I don't have to spend time in the car, which is kind of hard on me, hard on my body, and it's wonderful. As for my physical health, I'm also currently being evaluated for Cushing's disease, which is the opposite twin to what my little brother had, Addison's disease. I'll keep you updated on that. And I have mentioned him in episodes. I had one sibling and younger brother, Eric. He developed Addison's disease in the womb, which is apparently rare. He was also developmentally delayed and had a grand mal seizure disorder, which greatly affected my life and the development of complex PTSD because he could have a terrifying seizure at any moment while we were playing. And he died when I was 9 and he was 7 due to the stress that all of the above put on his heart. He was a light. He truly loved everyone, and he thought everyone loved him. Which meant trips to the mall could be tricky because he would run up to strangers with loud, "Hi!" and hug them. He really did. If you want to hear stories about him, you can listen to episode 48, The Use of Sorrows, and episode 31, Christmas Cupcakes. He was both a stress due to his hyperactivity and the stranger hugging, and a delight. My health has been an odd blessing. I feel somehow that I'm more myself now than I've ever been in my whole life. I'm not certain I can explain why, but we can explore that in later episodes. And now to my temperament and personality. I'm an intense introvert. I get nervous about social situations. I had to ramp myself up to guest on Five Pumpkin podcast on Friday. The episode, Sirlesque and Lisa's Angels, on those two episodes of season two on Vanderpump Rules. It's linked in the show notes. It came out today, by the way. And it went so well. It was so much fun. But I get nervous like a little kid getting ready to go to school for the first time. I don't go to parties. A group of people I don't know mingling and drinking, that's a nightmare. That's a punishment. I've taken the Myers-Briggs personality inventory several times over the years and always come up INFJ, the rarest type. We are 1% of the population. I told you I was weird. INFJ stands for introverted, intuitive, feeling, and judging, and it refers to the different ways I perceive and approach the world. It means that I never, ever stop thinking, which does interfere with sleep. I love, 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 love learning and pursuing knowledge. I know I called myself a book dragon, but I think I prefer book vacuum. I like that. A book hoover. And I see connections and things everywhere. If you're a regular listener or a reader way back from when I wrote the website for the Dollop podcast, all of that is still on the podcast website, by the way. You know, I believe that everything is connected, somehow. Speaking of being a book vacuum, I looked at my reading challenges for the years I've been doing the podcast on Goodreads. In 2007, I read 124 books. In 2008, I read 157 books. In 2019, I read 126 books. In 2020, I read 153 books. And last year, I read 134 books. This year so far, I've read 70. So in the duration of the planning and production of this podcast, it started in April of 2017. I started planning and promoting it in January of that year. I have read 694 books. Book vacuum. I do not play around when it comes to my books. This is a book-driven podcast for a reason. I said in the first episode that Edgar Allan Poe was an INFP, similar in temperament to myself. His personality type is known as the healer, and mine is the counselor, which is what I actually did for a living until I can no longer work. I think this showed in Poe's desire to take care of his aunt and his cousin, who was also his wife, who with his writing income, being as introverted as he was, as much of a loner as he was, he could have gone off with Virginia, his wife, and holed up somewhere and written. But they also lived with his aunt and her mother, and he cared for her. I wanted to go back to that Book Riot article that I sourced that inventories famous authors, Myers-Briggs types, and look at other authors that have been important to my development besides Poe and see if they're similar to mine. Let's see. Quote, I am a victim of introspection. Sylvia Plath. ISTJ, the inspector, sharing introversion and judgment with me, is Sigmund Freud. I read the entire works of Freud in graduate school at Boston University. I am strangely proud of that. I've joked that I want that bragging right on my tombstone. Inspectors are logical, pragmatic, and have a strong sense of personal responsibility. I do wonder if this contributed to Freud's cocaine addiction. Interesting. ENFJ, the extroverted version of my personality, is the teacher. They care intensely about people as I do and need people to get along. I do the same. I really try to stop arguments. It's a bad habit. They want people to be the best they can be and are empathic, as are INFJs. One ENFJ writer that has shaped me is the psychologist and philosopher Eric Fromm. INFJ writers that I love and or have studied are Plato, Mary Wollstonecraft, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Dante, Dostoevsky, Agatha Christie, Carl Jung, and Tolstoy. Poe is an incredible company as an INFP healer with other amazing writers that I have studied and or admire. These writers have a vivid internal life and care deeply about their beliefs and ideals. They include Rousseau, Albert Camus, J.R.R. Tolkien, Virginia Woolf, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, who wrote The Little Prince, A.A. Milne, who wrote Winnie the Pooh, John Milton, William Blake, Hans Christian Andersen, Shakespeare, and Homer. So much lovely art. The final introverts, INTJ, the mastermind, live with the inner world of possibilities, what can be. And they are C.S. Lewis and Lewis Carroll. I've taken the types for these authors from the Book Riot article linked in the show notes, the same one I used for episode one. And this article took their typing info from the Center for Applications of Psychological Type, which is also linked in the show notes. Obviously, none of these deceased authors took the Myers-Briggs. They were backdoor typed using what is known from their lives and personal letters and diaries. This is what the Center for Application of Psychological Type says about my type, INFJ. Quote, "For INFJs, the dominant quality in their lives is their attention to the inner world of possibilities, ideas, and symbols. Knowing by way of insight is paramount for INFJs, and they often manifest a deep concern for people and relationships as well. INFJs often have deep interests in creative expression, as well as issues of spirituality and human development. While the energy and attention of INFJs are naturally drawn to the inner world of ideas and insights, what people often first encounter with INFJs is their drive for closure and for the application of their ideas to people's concerns." Interesting. My fascination with this personality typing comes from my undergraduate work in psychology at NCSU. I fell in love with the idea of scales and inventories as I learned about Aaron Beck and his groundbreaking Beck Depression Inventory. When you go to the therapist or the psychiatrist and you take that quote-unquote quiz about, in the last 2 weeks, have you felt? You can thank Dr. Beck for developing that idea. I became fascinated with research and statistic-based inventories that can evaluate individuals and help them and their helping professionals understand themselves better. And then I learned about Myers-Briggs. And the actual Myers-Briggs goes so much deeper once you have your result of which of the 16 personality types you fall under. Allow me to further geek out for a minute. That's why you listen to me. There are 16 types that break down into 4 modules. 1. Where do you get your energy? Introversion versus extroversion. 2. How do you take in information? Sensing versus intuition. 3. How do you make decisions? Thinking versus feeling. And 4. How do you organize your world? Judgment versus perception. Isn't that interesting? I love psychology. Okay, I'll stop for now. Hopefully my being an INFJ helps you understand me better. I get my energy from being alone and in my own head. I'm intuitive, I trust my feelings, and I organize my world through internal works. Basically, I live in my own head times 4. Basically, I might be a hobbit. So, other than that, my first favorite television show, is Fame. And I still love it. At the top of my list is also my so-called life. Big Love. I teared up when I was done watching Big Love because the journey was over because the storytelling was so good. And yes, I am a Friends fan. I also love me some reality TV. It's a good escape and good knitting companion. I don't have to look up at it all the time and concentrate on what I'm doing. Plus, I love watching people make questionable decisions. Back to the psychology. It's right back to my psychology and counseling degrees. I'm currently watching Sister Wives. Oh my god. Seeking Sister Wives. Double oh my god. Rewatching Vanderpump Rules. Don't forget to listen to me and Princess talk about it in our latest episode. It's in the show notes. And I watch some of The Real Housewives. Not all of them. Also, the Love After Lockup universe, oh my god, and the Teen Mom universe, because I started with it, so I'm kind of just, okay, what's happening now? And I'm going back, thanks to Peacock, and rewatching The Real World, because I grew up with it. The Real World was my first reality show. I'm really enjoying the Homecoming shows. I hope they keep doing it. The reality TV world, you know, it has nothing to do with my world, my disability, my chronic illnesses, none of that stress. I can just watch mostly wealthy people do stupid stuff, and it's relaxing. It's oddly relaxing. I'm still a huge horror movie and literature fan. I've been adding my horror movie Letterboxd reviews to the website. I need to start adding my book reviews to the website as well. I also read high-quality true crime and nonfiction history. I'm working on finishing Stephen King's Dark Tower series and the full universe of the Dark Tower. A really nice person created a reading challenge for the Dark Tower extended universe to the Story Graph, which is an excellent alternative to Goodreads. I'll link to it in the show notes. And if you want to follow me on the Story Graph, There Might Be Cupcakes. It's easy to find me. My avatar is the avatar for the podcast. According to this reading challenge, I've completed 62% of it. 21 prompts completed out of 34 total. Woohoo! I'm also taking part in a book club / class on Sylvia Plath, which meets every Sunday over Zoom and then chats all week on Slack and Facebook. And I am loving every minute of it. We started by reading Her Husband by Diane Middlebrook, which is a faulty but interesting biography, and examining certain poems, and now we're reading The Bell Jar. Next, we will be comparing Ted Hughes' version of Ariel to Sylvia Plath's intended version of Ariel. This has been enchanting. I love school, and if my pocketbook and my health would allow me, it's not going to happen, I would be in college for the rest of my life. I would be one of those really eccentric people with 5 doctorates for no reason. You know, with the alphabet soup after my name. I thrive when I'm learning, which goes right back to my personality type. Talking about movies, I just saw Halloween the original in the theater again, thanks to Alamo Drafthouse Charlottesville. I love you guys. Every time it's on the big screen, I go. It's a personal rule I hold. I also took Dad to see Top Gun Maverick for early Father's Day present, and he said it was better than the original, and Top Gun's one of his favorite movies, so there you go. Eric would have loved it, because the flight sequences were similar to the Death Star flight sequences in Star Wars A New Hope. Really similar, like tight and just really similar. He would have been on his feet yelling, because that was one of our major plays. Is we would take our little figurines, and we had a, I can't think what it's called, Land Cruiser. And we would act out chase scenes all day, every day. And we would take cardboard tubes from Christmas wrapping, and we would use them as escape chutes for the little minifigs, the original minifigs from Star Wars. And they would escape from the top of my stereo to the carpet. And then, zoom! All day. So Eric would have lost his mind at Maverick. I really wish he could have been there. Anyway, I'm getting ready to go see Joe Hill's The Black Phone, and I cannot wait. I'm also going to snag Mia Goth's X, that horror movie, from the Redbox box in Amherst, which is probably going to be a really wild ride. I certainly hope so. I'm also going to rewatch the director's version of Midsommar because 'tis the season. I'm currently reading, besides The Bell Jar, The Son of Seven Mothers by Benjamin Risha about the Tony and Susan Alamo cult. I'm fascinated by cults, by the way. It's quite disturbing. I'll either link to it in the show notes, or if the show notes get too long, I'll put it in the website entry for this episode. And I will leave you this episode with my fuzzy butts. I have 2 dogs and a cat. Our cat stays in our mother-in-law's house, which is attached to our house. We have a little mother-in-law easement that she built. You know, she made it safe with no stairs, wide doors, and it's attached to our house by a door. Her name is Penelope Garcia, after the hacker and computer expert on Criminal Minds. She's a rescue, as are both our dogs. Arlo is our senior dog. Yes, his full name is Arlo Guthrie Huffstetler. The story of his name is really funny. We adopted him after my beloved long-haired dachshund Gretchen died at the age of 19. She nearly made it to 20. We were still settling in on our mountain, moving into the main house and get my mother-in-law settled into her mother-in-law addition. And my husband was still traveling back and forth to Norfolk. His friend bought our old house to flip it, and there were still some of our things in it. He was meeting with the paper pushers to complete the sale, all that good stuff. And Arlo didn't have his name yet, because my husband couldn't agree with me on one. So I vividly remember sitting in the car with him at the stoplight, after he finally agreed on the category of singer-songwriter names. We're going through a list of them, and he was still being wishy-washy on each one. Completely exasperated, I said, "If you leave to go to Norfolk without choosing a name, while you are gone this time, I will train him to respond to something outrageous like dildo. So pick one." Arlo it was. He looks like an Arlo. I can't explain why. If you're around my age, Arlo looks like the original Fisher-Price dog. You know, with the hard round bottom and then the black and white face with the black ears that stick up. That's exactly what Arlo looks like. He's so kind and gentle. He's a benevolent dictator. He would let first Ellie, my dachshund that I've talked about on the podcast and shared photos with, and now our new puppy, take bones and toys out of his mouth. His only right that he claims is he gets to be the first one to go out the door. We did the Embark DNA test on him, mainly to test for medical issues, and there are no concerns. Yay! And our black and white polka-dotted boy is mostly American Pit Bull Terrier. He doesn't have the big square head, though. With Chow Chow, Collie, and Super Mutt. I went around calling him Super Mutt Butt for days after getting the result. Ellie, my sweet short-haired dachshund, who I called the producer of the show, unfortunately died right before last Thanksgiving. I'm still grieving her loss as much as I love our new boy, Toby. She was 12. I'll talk about that on another episode. We were concerned about how Arlo was grieving her loss. He was having a lot of separation anxiety, which was unusual for him, and trouble sleeping, and he wasn't eating. So in January, we went to the Lynchburg Humane Society and met the dog previously known as Guppy. That shelter picks really perky names for each dog to get people's attention. This giant-eared brown puppy, assumed to be about two months old, had been found on the edge of a creek in a park in the middle of winter. After he was checked out for neck pain, he strained it while he was in the park, and he was neutered. He came home with us and was christened October Holden Hufstedler, called Toby. October, because he's the color of autumn leaves, and his mom loves horror, and Holden, because he knows when you're being a phony. Back to books. He's incredibly smart. My favorite trick he's learned is, I ask him, "Where's mommy?" He then makes eye contact with me and taps me on the leg with his big paw. I do love it. I'll record it and put it on TikTok and Instagram for you. He can also give high fives. We embarked him as well, and he has no medical genetic concerns. And he's also pit bull, plus Labrador Retriever, and Bulldog. Oh, and did I mention he has green eyes? Oh. So, that might be even more than you wanted to know about this podcaster. Oh, one more thing. As I've talked about episodes 3 and 4 and 62 and 63, they're linked in the show notes if I have room, I live in a haunted house. Things are still happening. Sounds of glass breaking when nothing broke. Sounds of doors shutting when they didn't. Voices. And I hear Ellie a lot, which is lovely. I've also seen Ellie twice, which is even more lovely. I'll update you on all the paranormal happenings on a later episode. I've always lived in haunted houses. I am apparently a haunted person, and I'm okay with that. Join me for updates on my Substack. I share what I'm up to. I send the website entries to it, so you can get them in your email box. And I share private entries that don't quite fit on the podcast on the paid level. It's theremightbecupcakes.substack.com. On the Patreon, which is also There Might Be Cupcakes, I upload ad-free versions of the episodes, plus PDFs of the episode scripts and more. Links in the show notes. As for current events, there's a pinned post on my Instagram, which is also There Might Be Cupcakes, with a lot of abortion resources, both emotional and practical, and a Planned Parenthood fundraiser. Please help out if you can. This morning, as I've said, Princess Jones Curtis dropped her episode on Buy Pumpkin Podcast that I guested on. I had so much fun. We talked for 2 hours about season 2 of Vanderpump Rules. I think it's episode 5 and 6. They are called Sirlesque and Lisa's Angels. We talked about the ethics of making your employees dance in skimpy costumes for their boss and for the public, and why reality TV stars lie when they know they're being recorded. It was so much fun. And both of us laughed the entire time. She's already invited me back, and I cannot wait. I love you, Princess. Princess said in her intro that she was nervous too, but she's made a new friend. I about died. Me too, Princess. Love you, girl. The podcast will link to the episodes in the show notes, and I'll put it in the website entry. And one more thing, and I am late on this, and I am so sorry. I received my first present from a listener. Aaron, you doll. Aaron sent me an Unemployed Philosopher's Guild mug from my wish list. It's the first lines from Literature mug. It's covered in famous first lines. And I love it. Aaron, I cried when I opened it. Thank you so much. Aaron's a Patreon. I owe you stickers and stuff, and it's coming this week. You are so supportive online on social media. You are the best, and I love you bunches. And I'm so sorry I am delayed on this thank you. Thank you so much. I cried. Guys, I know this week is somber and beyond rough and scary. I hope my eccentric and kind of goofy rambling here and my silliness on Buy Pumpkin has brought you some distraction and some cupcakes. Remember, I do love you. Coming up, more revisiting episodes from my first 5 years, you know, for example, going to look at what Susan Smith has been up to since I recorded episode 21. Hint, it's dark. And going to go deeper into the murders and the missing on Highway 29 from episode 11. Stuff like that. More in the House of Leaves series. Starting the Buffy the Vampire series. Finishing the Suspiria Three Mothers series. So young Ian. And there's going to be so many books. So many books. For those who have been listening and supporting me now into this 6th year, thank you. Thank you beyond words. For my new listeners, hello, and welcome into my little study crammed full of bookshelves and commonplace notebooks. Have some coffee or tea and a cupcake tailored just to your liking. You deserve it, and thank you. Given what's going on, I will leave you with one more Sylvia Plath quote about men manipulating and controlling women's bodies. Check out the sources I posted on Instagram and stay safe. Quote, girls are not machines that you put kindness coins into until sex falls out. I will see you next time with more fascinations of mine and hopefully yours.